All right, welcome back to the program. It is 12:05. Snazzy new logo if you're watching us on Rogers TV. Paul Wallace showing the new Tech Hour logo. And I don't know if is he moving a cursor underneath there or something's happening? You see that thing underneath the hashtag Tech Hour? Hashtag Tech Hour on Twitter, by the way, if you want to join the conversation. Today we'll be talking about the Google for Entrepreneurship program. We're in studio with Stephen Woods of Google and Stephen McCartney of VP Startup Services at Communitech. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Great, thanks.
Thanks very much for being here. So let me start off by asking maybe just to tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of, you know, a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are now. And then we'll talk about the Google for Entrepreneurship program.
Sure. My daughter summarized my career as CEO a lot, now VP. I'd like to improve on that. I have a history of doing some startups. My beginning was all telecom in Bell Canada, left there in 94. Done two significant startups and a third smaller one since then. And the opportunity here was to come down to Communitech and help other startups now. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of a luxury, and I'm really enjoying working here and doing that.
Stephen?
Yeah, we have a lot of Stephens going on today. Right, my background is software engineering. I've done a lot of software engineering, 25 years. Then I started a bunch of startups in the United States, in Silicon Valley. And then I moved back here in 2008 with Google to help build out Google's engineering and product teams in Canada.
So you got involved with Google out in California?
Yep, they found a Canadian and brought them home.
Yeah. Are you guys local? Are you guys from Waterloo?
I'm not originally from here, no. But I've worked here twice. This is my second time to circle back. There's a magnet here.
Yeah.
Bring me back.
Yeah.
Same for me. I did a lot of school here and then came back.
So let's talk about the Google for Entrepreneurship program. First of all, how did it all get started? Can I just get you just a little closer to the mic?
Sorry.
There you go. Yeah.
So my background, as I mentioned, is a lot of startups. And part of our role in Canada is to help facilitate the startup community and basically the general Waterloo region tech community as well. So we started doing programs with Communitech roughly the same day I got here, I think, mm-hmm. And sort of started mentoring startups, working with the various programs like Hyperdrive and things like that, trying to make available Google resources to startups where it made sense. We did buy some startups, too, along the way. And then over time, we worked on creating a real program with some of the California people, which became Google for Entrepreneurs. And that program is now in use throughout the world, actually. It really was originally trialed here.
Mm-hmm. And from Communitech's standpoint, how has that partnership been?
Well, Steve's right on. It's evolved. He won't say it, but I can say it. So Steve Woods himself has been a great supporter of Communitech and Google right behind him. And so that it really did begin with free Google services and support and some assistance. And it's evolved now to where it's a more formalized network. And they brought us together with eight in North America, seven of them are in the U.S., and we've met separately from Google and with Google and exchange of ideas. We even offer space in each other's operations for companies that are visiting to get customers. It's really evolved a lot over the last year.
Specifically, what type of services does this provide for anybody that is it just for startups?
Absolutely, it is just for startups. Although startup is a pretty broad definition.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of what I'm trying to get at because, for example, I could have, you know, I could be running a company, leave it, and then start something else up. And, you know, I'm not necessarily new, but I'm new as starting up again. So is it a whole wide range of people?
Sure.
It's very wide. In fact, there are people in exactly the category you just described, very, very experienced people who've started a number of companies who are in our shared space now with Communitech at the Google for Entrepreneurs Hub. And then there's a lot of folks just out of school, too. So it's a real mix.
Yeah. And specifically, what kind of services are being provided for these people?
We do quite a bit for them. We help them with business planning and business cases. We have a lot of mentors and executives in residence that'll work with them. Each of those people have very specific skills and backgrounds that they bring to the play. And we do introduce them to potential investors right from early seed stage investing right through to VC, later stage investing.
Is there funding involved for the companies?
There is. Not from Communitech itself, but we see ourselves more as getting them ready for that and helping them along.
Yeah. And so last week, September 4th, was Ignition Day?
Yes.
What is that? What was that all about?
Well, I'll start it off. I guess one of the generous things Google's done is to take some space inside what we call our partner section, where we have some larger enterprises that take space there. It's kind of an innovation area, but Google was good enough to actually sort of donate that back to the cause. And so we had an event where a number of companies applied, and we eventually whittled it down to the few that you see over there now, which were the most deserving candidates. And for 6 months, they got office space and a whole lot of support from us and a whole lot of support from Google while they're there. So it's a pretty nice deal for those folks.
Well, why is this important for Google to do?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I think it's the hardest question. It's really core to what Google is a very entrepreneurial culture. We chose engineering offices throughout the world, about 20, and Kitchener-Waterloo was chosen as one of those in 2007 as
Why?
A place. Because this is a very interesting place. It has an amazing university that turns out astoundingly successful students who come from all over the world to the university.
Yeah.
And we'd like to see more of them stay here. We like to develop products for the world from all over the world. And really, there is nowhere else like Kitchener. It has entrepreneurialism to a very high degree. Look at some of the amazing startups and companies like Steve's that have grown here. And it has a very high-performing engineering software type of person comes from this area. So it's been very successful for Google to be here.
So it's a one-stop shop.
It is a one-stop shop. I think that's fair. I
mean, it's like a Walmart of you know, looking for people to start up companies.
That's true, but we want to be part of facilitating that long term. We want to be, you know, involved in the ecosystem.
See, I find that notion very interesting for a company like Google, which is, you know, such a huge global player and you know, a tech company. And the fact that they want to kind of, I don't know if this is the right word, but nurture and bring up other companies is very interesting to me because. Well, I guess if you own them, they're not competition. But, you know, they could eventually blossom and become huge. But I guess that's all part of it.
It is part of it. It's good for our employees to be in this kind of environment. And, you know, we don't expect people to work for us forever. We think they'll go out and create other companies and they'll do other interesting things. And, you know, we'll maybe have a chance to work with them in the future. So it's we don't want to be isolated. We want to be part of a very broad and diverse tech community.
How does Kitchener-Waterloo compare to some of the other places that Google is also doing this type of programming?
I'd say that in terms of the support that we have had, we're right on par. So if you look at the seven that are in the United States, they might specialize a little more in a couple cases, like Nashville. Obviously, there's a deep connection to the music industry
yeah.
and the digital side. But I would say that no one would suggest that of the whole hub, that Communitech wouldn't be a leader amongst that group. We are the oldest of all of the most established. Yeah.
Do people know about this? I mean, is the fact that Google is doing this, and the fact that Communitech is doing this with Google, are people aware of this? Because, I mean, it's a big deal to have a company like Google provide funding and do this. Are people aware?
That's a good question. I mean, we talk about it. We're not in it for the public relations of it necessarily. I mean, we're involved in campus. We have a lot of research awards with the university. We do joint research. Sometimes we have researchers visit with us and stay here. We try to find ways to be helpful. And I think, you know, back to Steve's point about Communitech, actually, we will, if we're in a community where maybe the startup environment hasn't been formed yet, we will actually create something that looks a lot like mm-hmm. Communitech. We've done that in London, England, for example.
What do you mean? You'll create like a hub?
Yeah, we'll actually actually provide the buildings and the facilities and the support. But here in Waterloo, Communitech has been that for many years. And so instead of trying to build it and compete with it, which we have no interest in at all, we just come and try to find ways to support how we can complement the programs they're doing, maybe offer some additional ideas about how mm-hmm. to move forward the community and be part of it. But we don't want to overlap. We don't want to be competitive. We're not trying to push our own products necessarily. We'll certainly make them available if it makes sense.
One of the interesting things that's come up for us is Google has what we ended up defining as the power to convene. It's a well enough known global company that they can get us all into one place. And so when we got together a year ago, we had people presenting from Pakistan, from London, from Tel Aviv. And it was remarkable, the similarities, and it was also very instructive, the differences. And I think the best line that came out that day was the woman from Pakistan that said, if you get your information about what we're doing in Pakistan from CNN, you're wrong. And then proceeded to tell us about all the great startup stuff that was happening there. And so there was nothing in that for Google, but there was certainly something in that for all of us in the room.
Yeah.
We have contacts in Paris, Tel Aviv, all these countries that we wouldn't have had. So just that bringing together of everybody was tremendously powerful.
Yeah. Quickly, because we're quickly running out of time, the type of companies that come through and would use this type of program, obviously all tech companies, but they tech is a big word. It's such
right.
a, you know, because right. we can talk about healthcare. We can talk about, you know, I don't know. And there's so many different aspects to the tech world. What kind of companies are we seeing utilize?
Well, Community tech sees a lot of different companies. Yeah. Certainly from our point of view, it's unbelievably diverse. And like I often say, like a tech company is just a company that uses technology, which is sort of everybody.
Right.
Like
just,
we're sitting here surrounded by computers,
exactly.
Right? But we do see a lot of innovation in areas that this area's had a long history in networking, in automobiles, in consumer digital media.
Well, and we've got, the range goes from we've got one company right now working on an automated system to track food source. So that's obviously for Health Canada kind of applications and tracking where food came from in the event of a problem. All the way through to the guys, we've got a company doing an attachment for digital printing.
Okay.
And I think you're going to talk to some of the guys from
SkyWatch, who are
bringing together all the information available about what's happening in the universe into one feed of data.
Which is unbelievable.
Seriously.
Yeah. So that's still coming up on the Tuesday Tech Hour. I want to thank you guys for coming in. This is great. Thank you so much.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with much more on Rogers TV and 570 News. All right. Welcome back. It is 12:19 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV. It is the Tuesday Tech Hour, hashtag Tech Hour on Twitter if you'd like to get in on the conversation. The phone lines are also open. If you have any comments, questions, by all means, 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell. And my email is eric@570news.com. So we're talking about the Google for Entrepreneurship program, and we talked to Stephen Woods and Stephen McCartney of Google and Communitech and why the program is there. Now we're joined in studio by Andrew Parody, who your company is called Technically.
That's right.
And which is fantastic, and I'll get to you in just one second. We're also in studio with James Sleafers, whose company is called SkyWatch.
Yes.
How are you guys? Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here, Eric. This is awesome. I had no idea they had an entire show dedicated to the tech scene, only in KW.
Well, we go back to there was a conference at Binghamton's a couple months ago, and we did an entire show from there, and it was this tech conference, and you know, we met so many folks, and we thought, this is amazing. There's so many people need to know what's happening here in Waterloo Region, and there's so much happening. So many folks like you and other people that we get in weekly on a Tuesday to talk about their companies and what they're coming up with, and it's fantastic. I think more people out there listening need to know what's happening in their own community. So let's start with you, Andrew. Tell me a little bit about yourself and what Technically is.
Awesome. Thanks so much. So we co-founded Technically with my longtime friend Brandon. I've known him since grade one.
Yeah. Wow, that's going way back.
Yeah, and both of us went to different high schools. We started our own businesses. Brandon's IT hosting company got acquired in grade 12. And then we met up at Laurier, and he had an idea for something in web analytics, and I signed on. And so we joined Laurier Launchpad, and for the past 10 months, we've been building Webplio. And Webplio presents easy-to-understand website analytics information for small business owners. So right now, they're logging into Google Analytics, Google Webmaster Tools, different solutions, and just bombarded with spreadsheets and complex graphs. And so through the APIs, we can pull in all that data, analyze it, process it, and really pull out the information that they need to know and that's important to their bottom line.
Mm-hmm. All right, James, and just a little bit about yourself and SkyWatch.
Yeah, so my company started in Toronto. It's a very interesting story. We all went to, there's four of us, and we went to the NASA International Space Apps Challenge, which was in April at the Ontario Science Center. Now, NASA has this global challenge yearly because as an organization, they create some of the most data in the world, but they also lose most of the data.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they have this challenge so people can utilize it. So we entered the competition. There's about 670 companies around the world. And we built a product that tapped into their space telescope infrastructure. And we created a real-time feed of everything happening in the universe.
What does that mean?
So at least everything that we're capturing. So we have 18 space telescopes that orbit the Earth. And we have hundreds of ground-based observatories. And there's dozens of astronomical databases. All this data is really fragmented. And it's not easy to transfer or to plug into. So what we did was we took one of them as a prototype. We plugged into it. One of NASA's primary infrastructures.
Mm-hmm.
And we just created a feed in which everyone could see what was happening in space, at least that of which we were capturing.
So I can do this right now? I can go online and do this and look into it?
We built the prototype,
okay.
And we won the international competition with NASA. So
okay.
We ended up winning it, and we notice that there's all these other networks that need
right.
that need to do. So we thought, okay, let's create a business out of it. Let's create, this is our value prop. So we then, what are we going to do here?
Well, how did you end up getting to where you are now?
Yeah, okay. So we decided, okay, we're going to aggregate and synchronize all the astronomical data in the world.
Yeah.
And we then, we were always looking to come to Waterloo. We love the scene here. We love how tight-knit the entrepreneurial community is. We love the support that Communitech gives to its company. So we were going to move here anyways, but then we saw this Google for Entrepreneurship program.
Right.
And we thought this was the perfect opportunity.
And so what has the program been able to provide you guys?
Well, we've only been in it for a week now, so we haven't been able to quite tap into those opportunities yet. But for us, the big opportunity is being able to actually be in direct contact with the team building Google Analytics, the team building Webmaster Tools. So being able to sort of, if we have any issues with the API or plugging into it, being able to ask them directly rather than trying to find that information deep in documentation. And then another big thing is making sure that we're really maximizing the API. Certain types of data can be difficult to get out, and just figuring out what's the most efficient way to do that.
Mm-hmm. And what about for you, James? I mean, why is it important to be in this program for you?
Well, we're actually releasing our product to the public in April 2015.
Okay.
So we have from when we started in last April, we have a one-year product development plan, and NASA's actually going to let us unveil it at their next competition. What we wanted to do was get two things ready simultaneously, and that was our business development and our product development. So making sure that we were on task for developing the proper architecture that is scalable for our product, but also making sure that we were picking the right market segments that we wanted to capitalize on. And we also hope to raise an angel round of funding in spring 2015. So we thought of this as the perfect opportunity to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm. And you were telling me off the air that you just picked up your life and moved here from Toronto in a matter of days.
Yes.
What's that been like? Are you liking it here?
So far, I love it. I mean, I don't have to deal with the traffic that we deal with in Toronto.
Hear that, folks? Okay, we have the traffic here is better than in Toronto. Okay, so that's better. What else?
The cost of living, obviously, way cheaper. But I think the tight-knit group of people that are at Communitech, as well as access to the students. I mean, Laurier and Waterloo both pump out great, like, Lots of skilled talent. Even the current students are a great resource of talent.
And that's important, right, for a young company, a starting company, to have that kind of access because, I'm sure it'll only help you grow.
Well, it's already been a key for us. In May, we hired 3 co-op students from University of Waterloo, 2 software engineering, 1 computer engineering. And the amount of work they did so efficiently, we got from sort of just a concept in May to we're within weeks of releasing it in just 3 months. So just the amount of talent here is unbelievable. And we've really totally been brought up through the ranks in the scene here. We started, Brand and I first worked together at sort of the KW Startup Weekend in the fall last year, Launchpad, different opportunities there, Communitech. It's just remarkable seeing all the different innovation happening in one building, in one region.
Well, we're right out of time. So do you guys have websites you want to throw out for if folks would like more information?
Yeah, our website is technically.com, TEKNICALLY. And we'll be launching Webplio in the coming weeks, WEBPLIO.
And
looking forward to bringing on any new small business owners who want to sort of grow and get more customers with their website.
All right.
And we are skywatch.co. And you can sign up for our public beta there. And you can follow the universe in real time come April.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to do that. That's really cool. I'm going to look into that. So thank you guys so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Eric.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We'll be back with more on Roger CVN 570 News. All right. Welcome back. It is 12:35 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV. It is the Tuesday Tech Hour. Hashtag Tech Hour on Twitter if you'd like to get involved on the conversation. The phone lines are also open, folks, if you have any comments. Perhaps you're somebody that is thinking about, you know, a startup. Perhaps you're thinking about, you know, how do I, you like that word, entrepreneur, and you're trying to get into it, or you're, you know, trying to decide whether to get into it. These are people in studio that we're chatting with today, and as is the case most of the time on the Tuesday Tech Hour, people here that can answer a lot of these questions because they're going through it and or have just recently gone through this type of stuff. So by all means, if you have any comments or questions, phone lines are open, 519-570-2545, locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, star 570 by cell. The email is eric@570news.com. And today we're talking about the Google for Entrepreneurship program. And joining me in studio right now is Sarah Juma, the CEO and co-founder of Style ID. How are you?
Good. Glad to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for being here. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How do I know you're local. You're born and raised in Waterloo, which
is
awesome.
Went to Blueville, attended University of Waterloo.
Absolutely. Throw that out there. So tell me a little bit about yourself in terms of your background from in the tech sector, if you will. And how did you get to where you are now?
Well, I'm a non-technical female. And so
what do you mean you're non-technical? What does that mean?
I don't have a technical background.
Okay.
I didn't study engineering or, you know, database creating. That's not me. I'm more marketing and branding.
Okay.
And so I kind of stumbled upon Communitech when I first came up with this idea of Style ID. Because it was a mobile app, obviously I would need some type of tech background. So stumbled upon Communitech during Techtoberfest, and I've been a part of Communitech since then.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about Style ID. What is it?
So Style ID is a mobile app that helps fans find the items they see on TV. So if you're watching, you know, Modern Family and you see a dress that Sofia Vergara is wearing, we'll tell you where you can get that exact item.
In the world or locally? Or sometimes, I guess, I mean, you wouldn't be able to find some of the stuff locally.
Oh, yeah, not so much locally, but we do send you to a Bloomingdale's or a Nordstrom's or the Bay.
Oh, for online shopping.
Yeah,
obviously.
Online shopping, yeah.
Duh. Yeah. So what about, and is it just with, like, clothing or does it involve more than that?
Currently, we cover just clothing, but we're looking to grow into, you know, paint colors on the wall, desks that you see, furniture, maybe even plants that you see outdoors.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic idea. So you went through the Google for Entrepreneurship program.
Yes, I did.
Why? How did you get involved with that?
So in December of last year, there was an open call looking for entrepreneurs who are interested in joining the Google for Entrepreneur program. And just by chance, I applied for it online. And then I was very excited to get the call early January that I had been accepted to the program.
Yeah. What did that application, was it in depth? Did you have to pitch your idea at that time?
Yes, it did involve pitching your idea, giving, you know, a general background of what you're working on and why you need the space.
Right. And how far ahead were you at that point in terms of your business?
Well, I had built a beta at that point, but I had not yet launched it. And so the whole purpose for me needing the space was because I was looking to bring on some extra helpers for the term from January to June so that they could aid me in the launch. And so it was really well timed.
So you were telling me off air that you were in the program for 6 months.
Yes.
During that period of time, what kind of service, I mean, how was it helpful? In which ways was it helpful?
Well, you know, a lot of people ask what did Google give for you?
Yeah.
But I more like to look at it as what you can take from a program. So having the opportunity to be in that ecosystem of Communitech and, you know, being able to reach out to advisors and mentors and especially having other startups around you that you can lean on and that you can talk to, that was the biggest takeaway for me.
So you had physical space.
Yes.
At Communitech.
Beautiful space,
right? And,
yes.
And what does that give you, an office?
Yeah. Yeah. So we
just had, like, a typical office setting.
Exactly.
I've never actually been in there. I should probably walk across the street at some point. Yeah. But just like a typical office, right?
Yeah. Typical office. You know, we had big glass doors, you know, high ceilings. And like I said, it's all about being present and being in the environment with other entrepreneurs that you can talk to. Because it's funny because I grew up here in Waterloo. I didn't stay on residence when I went to University of Waterloo. And so I kind of equate this as to me being in residence and building close relationships with other founders that are there.
So it was kind of your university experience.
Exactly. In all these people that I met, they're people that I continue to have relationships with. We're building our businesses together, and I'm sure that we'll be together down the road.
Yeah. So you and you know that was my next question. You build friendships, don't you, when you're there, and long friendships that you can expect to kind of stick around for a while.
Yeah, very much so.
What? How many people are in there at any given time?
I would say between 6 to 12, depending, because you know how it is as an entrepreneur. You're back and forth in meetings, so.
Okay. And was it people of all ages? Was it, I mean, what stages was everybody in, or was everybody at the same stage you were? With their respective company? Because I would assume that if there were people in different stages, then that would, you know, open up the door if you had a question you could ask. And
yeah, there were people in different stages, people a little bit more in the beginning processes, just mapping out what their plan is. And then there's people that were further along that had already launched and they're kind of growing their companies.
What's the biggest takeaway from the program for you?
Again, I would say the environment and just building these relationships. Mm-hmm. Like I built a great relationship with another company within Communitech, within the building there, InvisiVision, and we work together so well. We're planning a trip out to California together, and yeah, it's really a once in a lifetime chance.
Yeah. So as far as Style ID goes, you said it's an app.
Yes, it is.
Is it out there, ready to go?
It's available on Android and BlackBerry. Everybody should download it today. Get ready for those season premieres taking place the third week of September. We cover about 21 different shows, shows like Modern Family, Young
Game
and the
of
Restless.
Thrones.
Game of Thrones. You don't want their
Game
outfits.
Of Thrones. Why not? I want the outfits. Matt, can you imagine swinging around a sword like Ned Stark did in season one? No, seriously. So it's what kind of shows? So is it basically a comedy based?
Yeah, comedy, sitcoms. We're looking to cover movies. We do scandal, revenge, anything with great outfits. Because that's what it's about, right? You watch TV, you know you have to go to a meeting the next day. You don't know what you should wear. You don't know what's appropriate. So you jump on the app when you see something on TV and you find you can purchase the exact item that you see.
Your target audience, is it female for the most part?
Yes, it is right now. But the interesting thing is a couple weeks ago, we had the opportunity of participating in Toronto Men's Fashion Week, and all of the men asked me for the information for the show Suits.
Would make sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about Mad Men?
That's right.
That's another one,
because they're all professional men, like with their ties and perfectly tailored suits, and they want to know, I have a wedding to go to, I have a big meeting or an interview, where can I get that outfit?
It's a very interesting idea. And now I have here basically cross-referencing movies. Music videos is another thing. Are you doing that yet?
Not yet, but next week we're going to New York to meet with a bunch of record labels. So
that's really cool. So so how fast has this been taking off for you?
It's been growing surprisingly fast, considering that we just launched in July of this year and there weren't any shows, like new shows on. We've been getting a lot of downloads. Mm-hmm. So the real test will come in the coming weeks with the season premieres coming out.
Are you first to do this? Something like this? Do you have competition?
At this point, it's an open playing field right now.
There
are some websites that, you know, fans operate that say, hey, this is what this character was wearing, but they don't connect directly with the costume designers. So we build relationships with the costume designers, and they let us know that this is the exact item.
So you know you're getting, it's legitimate, you're getting the exact item.
Exactly.
It's a good thing you started with clothes, because I could see that being a huge market.
Yes.
And the fact that it's an app, so it's worldwide, anybody can go and download the app. Is it free?
It is free. Of course it's free.
Well, I don't know. Some apps are like $7.99. I don't know.
No, clothing's too important for that. We're giving it away for free. It's we're going to be releasing on iOS in the coming weeks. So if you have an iPhone, we suggest that you follow us on Twitter.
Okay.
Hashtag Style ID. And then we'll let you know as soon as it's available for download for you.
Okay. Is there a website you want to throw?
Yeah, styleid.ca.
Styleid.ca. Thank you so much for doing this.
No problem.
This is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more on Rogers TV on 570 News. Welcome back. It is 12:48 here on 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV, the Tuesday Tech Hour on Twitter, hashtag Tech Hour. Phone lines are open as well, 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 by cell, hands-free, and you can get me on the email as well, Eric at 570news.com. Today we're talking about the Google for Entrepreneurship program, and we've spoken with Stephen Woods from Google and Stephen McCartney from Communitech and some companies that have either just entered or just left the Google for Entrepreneurship program. And in studio right now, joining me is Christine Bird, the co-founder of Plum. Mm-hmm. And Caitlin McGregor, also the other co-founder of Plum. Do I have that right?
You do.
Two co-founders. So we've spoken before. So thanks for being here again.
Thank you for having me.
Caitlin, maybe I could get you just a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are right now.
So basically, 4.5 years ago, I was hired to start up and run an educational software company in the U.S., and we had to go and hire our first employee, and we used an assessment to assess all 80 people that applied for the position, and two candidates stood out, and the one that ended up outperforming everybody had next to no experience, you know, 7 years of waitressing, just a general BA, no experience with Excel, but just, you know, was an amazing performer, absolutely a top performer, and outbeat the person that had lots of experience. And so we used this process for several years and just realized that, you know, identifying top performers has nothing to do with a resume. It has to do with attitude. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to create a solution that anybody could afford to use on everybody at the beginning of the hiring process before a resume, and really identify these key people that, you know, 89% of failed hires are due to attitude, not skill. And so we actually right. measure that. And that's how our company started, is basically wanting to bring a solution that identifies that attitude first
sure.
to market.
How do you measure that, though? In which way do you measure that?
Magic.
Kind of like radio. That's magic as
yeah.
well.
No. So we assess for the main predictors of job performance. One of them is fluid intelligence, so how you handle complexity, how you get up to speed. We measure personality and behavioral, you know, using behavioral science to find out what really makes people who they are. And everybody has the same characteristics. So if you follow something called the Big Five factors, it's you know, not new to us. It's pretty much long-term psychology for the past 50 years says that there's five characteristics or traits that make up everyone's personality, and we can measure what those differences are in, you know, whether you are higher in extroversion or I'm higher in stress tolerance, whatever it might be. And then we also assess for social effectiveness. So those three, being able to do that and having people prioritize and answer questions and do puzzles really gets us to understand who they are intrinsically.
So you do this for companies, with companies?
We do.
Is it a joint program, or do they use your software, or do they use it, or do you guys do it? Like, do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Is this just a product that you provide for a company to go ahead and use themselves, or do you do it with them?
Yep. So it's a SaaS company. We're a SaaS company, and everything's on the cloud.
Okay.
So companies sign up, and it's just a simple URL that directs candidates to take the survey. Everything is branded with the company that it's, you know, that's chosen to use it. So it has really little to do with us once the company starts using it. But it benefits both, obviously, the client, because they can filter through and figure out who's the best candidate for the right fit, or who's the right fit for each role. And then it also benefits the job seeker, because we are making sure to provide them with their talents and what their strengths are, so they can promote that in the interview and hopefully moving forward with getting a position.
Mm-hmm. What kind of companies are using it right now? Are there local companies using
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, we have local companies. Dejero and MyoVision are growing companies. They're well beyond the startup phase.
Yeah.
And they use it for, you know, every position. 360 Incentives in Toronto, which was awarded one of Canada's top employers, also uses us. So most of them, you know, it's directly from when you are an applicant and you apply for a job at that company. You're going in and taking the Plum assessment. And like Christine said, you know, the candidates, they only have to take the assessment once. So they actually get this profile that has all this information about what really differentiates them, what
right.
makes them stand out. So even if they don't get the job at that one company, they can then use those strengths, promote it on, you know, LinkedIn or on their resume and say, you know, I'm amazing at decision making, or I'm fantastic at task work. Instead of just them claiming to be that case, they now have this, you know, third party verification that says that they actually are exceptional, and they can use that with every employer, regardless if they're using the assessment.
Yeah.
So it's really a win-win on both sides.
Well, it kind of solidifies it, right? Because who doesn't claim that they're amazing at everything on their resume? Well, and are there any radio companies using this kind of stuff,
there
Matt?
There should be.
Maybe there should be.
You know where to find us.
So tell me about the Google for Entrepreneurship program. We were just talking off the air. Are you guys going to California? Is that
We
right?
are. Yes, we are. We're skipping out of town on September 29th. We're going out for a two-week program.
that's part of, it's Google Entrepreneurs is backing up Black Box Connect, and they have a cohort every year, once a year, yeah, and they bring international companies in. They choose one from, I believe, 16 different locations, so we were lucky to be chosen out of Canada.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and so we get to go for 2 weeks at a kind of an accelerated accelerator program, and hopefully...
And so what will you do there?
The main focus, there's two parts to the program. One is to really help understand how you can go down to the valley and connect with people. We had a similar experience last year with New York, where we had an opportunity to go to New York, and the idea is to learn the culture there and to learn the speak, because it's different.
Right.
And San Francisco is its own beast, and so they really want you to understand the mentality there. Understand that when you're pitching to investors, they're not really looking for the answer when you're going to break even, for instance. They want to know that big picture. They want to know the home run. So your pitch, the way that you communicate, needs to change to fit the local area. So the best way to learn that is to really get embedded in the area, get all of these amazing mentors coming in and saying, you know, Google Ventures comes in and talks and says, this is what we're looking for. This is how, you know, this is what a good pitch looks like. This is what a successful company looks like to us, so that we can really change the way we've been presenting ourselves to best fit and be successful in that environment. And the goal is to help companies both talk properly if they're looking for partnerships and company and traction with businesses, but really it's also to go and get a bit of that Silicon Valley pie and
sure.
get fundraise and be able to get some funds to really help us come back here and use that money to accelerate our company and to use that mentality and that, you know, the way they see things to help really be more competitive here as well.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback do you guys get from your product? I mean, has it been going well? Has it been growing? You guys been growing?
Yes.
Good. Well, no, I asked that question because, you know, I would assume this is something that most companies would want to do, right, to get the right person for the job. And if this will help, then why not?
Our biggest roadblock in order to be successful is the traditional hiring process. So, you know, people are very used to, and rightly so, they're very used to looking at resumes because that's what you say that you're good at. You know, you put all of your qualifications and your skills down, and then you go through an interview process where you basically have to act in the way that you think somebody should, you know, is expecting you to be or want to be. And if you're very good at interviewing, then you do really well. If you're not very good at interviewing, then you might not be accepted into that job. Obvious glaring problems. You can put whatever you want to say in a resume. You can put I put my mom down as a reference one time, I think. So, and then, you know, interviews, again, really only favor, you know, socially effective people. And unfortunately, that's not most of the roles out there. So people are very used to doing that system, sometimes changing that up and saying, you know what, you really want to find out who these candidates are and know who they are and not just do that guesswork. It has been, I would say, the biggest hurdle. But when we first started about 3 years ago, it was a lot more difficult. And now people are like, wow, HR tech is really changing. Big data is changing the environment. You know, people are contacting us about fundraising and we're, you know, partnering and doing all mm-hmm. these different things. So you can definitely see the tipping point starting to change in the hiring process, thankfully. So it's becoming yeah. far more objective.
We're right out of time, which is amazing because we this is how fast things go. Is there a website that people can go to for
sure.
get some more information?
It's plum.io, and if you'd like to email either Caitlin or myself, we both our names start with a C, and it's Christine or Caitlin at plum.io.
All right, thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
If you're watching us on Rogers TV, stick around. Daytime is next. We'll be back with much more on 570 News.